we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a new week here in Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast, and right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Hopefully you had a great Resurrection Sunday yesterday. We have just been having some wonderful things that have been happening at our church. Last week we were concluding our 30 days of prayer that we were doing leading up to Resurrection Sunday, but we have sensed that the Holy Spirit is pleased with the fact that we are seeking the face of the Lord. And the thing about doing something for 30 days is once you have done it for that long, there's no real reason to stop. And I pray that if you have joined us on this journey of praying and seeking God's face, that you will continue. You will not stop. But we sang a hymn a few weeks ago, and it talked about the joy of just spending an hour in the presence of the Lord. And so I pray that praying is not a drudgery for you, but instead it is a privilege and a thrill, and it would be a time where we are in the presence of the Lord, sharpening our sword, if you will. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so as we're in the presence of the Lord, he is sharpening us. He is making us more effective, so that we do not work in our own strength or in our own might, but we work in his mighty power. So hopefully you will continue that journey of prayer that you have begun. Want to say thank you today to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, they would be a great company to call. Tell them that you heard about them here on the Refresh radio broadcast. Ask for Greg, and he will come out. They just have done a number of projects around the church for us, and some of the people in the church have had them do work for them as well. So give them a call, and they will get all of that work done. A friend of mine, he was recently pricing out a project. This is a different industry altogether. And he said, what I discovered is that when I priced it, it was going to cost as much for me to do it myself as it was for me to contact somebody, have them come out and do the job for me. The price was the same. Sometimes contractors can get the material at a rate that you may not have available to you. They can come out and do the work, do it right. They have the experience and the skill, and it not be any more money than if you had done it yourself, and you have saved yourself a whole lot of aggravation, learning curve, sore muscles, and things like that. So if you need any concrete or block work, give them a call, 536-5804. I also want to say thank you. I received last week a card in the mail that was just a real encouragement. And so I want to thank you for those of you who listen, and you not only want to listen, but you also want to operate with a gift of encouragement. And so I just wanted to say thank you very much for the card and the note inside, and all that you do for the kingdom. I want you to know that it is appreciated, and we appreciate it a great deal. So now the resurrection is over. We find ourselves in a situation where, you know, things are never going to be the same again as far as the chronological timeline of the year that Jesus was alive. It's been the same for us ever since. You know, it is true for the Christian that every day is Christmas, and every day is the resurrection. So I just want to make you aware that there's not a new dynamic that exists today that did not exist yesterday. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we walk with a fresh revelation of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So please do not fall prey to the devil's temptation of having begun your journey of faith in the Spirit, that now you try and fulfill it by the works of the flesh. That is not good. So we're going to start a new study right now. The reason that I'm doing this is I've been teaching from the book of Isaiah in our vintage service for quite some time now. And as I was teaching some of it, there were people in the congregation and they said, "Pastor, that's where we are as a country right now. There are people who need to hear this." And so I want to take you through the book of Isaiah, and I'm just going to comment on some of these. We're not going to read every chapter. We're not going to comment on every verse or anything like that. But we will take time where we need to take time, and we will bypass things that may not be pertinent for this broadcast right here and now. But I do want to take you through a good portion of the book of Isaiah, and we may skip around and touch on things that may be appropriate for the season. But let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master, or its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints, from the sole of the foot even to the head, but there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, to you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice, says the Lord, or sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." So we're going to stop the reading there. We're probably not going to get all the way to that point today in this broadcast. But verse number one begins to give you a timeline of what life was like for the prophet Isaiah. He began his ministry with Uzziah on the throne, a king who had reigned for 52 years. And one of the things that I tell people is about elections here in America is we have term limits for president. And so whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, or you don't like either one of them, whatever it might be, There are limits as to how long a person is in office. They can only be there for 8 years at a time. Uzziah, I believe, reigned for 52 years. That's a long time. And part of his reign was very healthy, very holy. Part of it was not. Then you go through Jotham and Ahaz, and things were not all that great during that season. And then comes Hezekiah, who was a righteous king, and Isaiah began to minister. In fact, he was the one who ministered during the time when Hezekiah was supernaturally healed, and God extended his life for another 15 years. The one thing that remains constant during righteous governments or unrighteous governments, or things that started out well and then went south, or things that started south and then went good, as it did for Hezekiah's son Manasseh, who gave his heart to the Lord at the very end of his life and saw God do great things on his behalf. The reason that I know that is I preached on that one time, and a person said, you know, you might want to look up and see what the rest of the Bible says about Manasseh's reign. And I found out for my own personal experience that Manasseh had a repentant heart, changed his life, and God was pleased with that. So the one constant is that God is on the throne. God is on the throne. And here is the second constant, and that is in verse number 2, it says, "For the Lord has spoken." You see, I believe that there, when the Bible talks about that there would come a time when there would be famine for hearing the word of God, that it doesn't mean that God stopped speaking. It means that there was a drought of people who had their ear tuned to the voice of God. There wasn't a famine of speaking. There was a famine of hearing. If man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then I'm very thankful. I'm thankful for the word that he spoke at creation that is still in effect. I'm thankful for his covenant with the sun and the moon and the stars. I'm thankful for his covenant that he has with his people. And I'm thankful that he has a covenant to continue to speak to you and I. And our responsibility is to hear. So when I'm teaching on prayer, I challenge people, do not make it a monologue where you are doing all of the talking. Make sure that you carve out some time in there to listen to what God has to say, because God is already fully aware of your circumstances. He wants us to ask. He wants us to extend the invitation. You know, there are people that I have available that I can call at any given point in time, and they will come into my situation. They will help me if they are invited, if there is an invitation. But if there is no invitation extended, then they are left outside. And so let's make sure that we are inviting God to come in, but then let's listen for his answer. Because a lot of times people's prayer goes something like this: God, you, here I am, I'm in this mess, it's just a horrible situation. I don't know that there's any way that anybody could help me get out of this. I just thought I would call and make you aware of it. I just wanted to complain a little bit, get this off of my chest, and I feel so much better now that I have brought you into my circle of influence, that I'm telling you about how bad my circumstance is. Thank you. And we never allow God to say, you know what? There is a response to this situation. There is an action that we can take. There is a word that I can speak into your life, that if you will listen, if you will obey and step out in that word, then all of a sudden you will find that I have a solution to your problems. One of the great things that I really appreciate about God is that before my problems existed, he had already taken the necessary steps to bring about the solutions. Before my body was ever sick, he had received the stripes for healing upon his body. Before I was overwhelmed with the sin of my sin nature and the sin of my own life, he had received the stripes upon his back. Before he knew that I would be in a situation that was bigger than I am, beyond my ability to cope or manage the situation. He had already invited me to ask of him for wisdom, and he would give it. You see, every area of life that you have, he has the solution. And here's the thing. He's not trying to keep it a secret. He's longing. He longs to dwell in the midst of his people, not on the tangent of your life. He likes to be at the very core, the foundation of our existence. And so Isaiah says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." And he tells us right there, he said, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Through 30 years of ministry and, you know, a great number of years at pastoring at Merit Assembly of God, 23 plus years now, I have encountered a lot of parents and a lot of parents of teenagers. And there was a long stretch where no matter what we had done as far as raising kids and teaching them and bringing them to church and sowing the word of God, that whenever they hit 18, all of a sudden there was a different thought process that was taking place. And I didn't know if it was something that they were being taught in school or whatever, that at 18 now you're an adult and you don't have to do what your parents say. You get to make your own choices. But yet at the same time, those young people wanted to have mom and dad continue to fund whatever they wanted to do. They wanted to continue to live under their protection, but without their rules. And I'm not telling you this to lament our children. What I'm sharing with you about is the response that the parents had, and that was this. Each one of them, they had trained up their children in the way that they should go, believing that when they're old, they will not depart from it. But each one of them, including some people that I know very, very well, looked themselves in the mirror and said this: what did I do wrong? What mistake did I make? How could I have messed up? We live in a society now where young people are making bad choices, and there are people who are saying, well, they're just a good person. You know, I know that they robbed a store at gunpoint, they shot somebody, they killed somebody, but they're a good person. They don't think badly of them, and they don't ever begin to look at the situation and say, you know, what did I do wrong? Well, I want you to know God understands what it is like to be a parent of a rebellious child. Now, not in a biological sense, but in a spiritual sense. He is our Heavenly Father. And he says, I've nourished them. I've brought them to health. I have trained them in the way that they should go. I've given them my word. I've given them my miracles. I've given them supernatural provision, and yet they have rebelled against me. So if I can just start this week off by speaking a healing word to parents, and that is this. If you were not the perfect parent, you know, I just want to encourage you, none of us are. Now, please do not be under the delusion that you are a perfect parent, because I will tell you this. This person speaking to you on the radio right now is not and was not a perfect parent. I did my best. I did okay. my kids are doing well. I thank God for that. But there were a lot of times that I went to my kids and said, I'm sorry. And in fact, there's a lot of times now that they will be talking and an expression that I would use would come out of their mouth. And I just go up, I give them a hug, and I said, baby, I am so sorry that I instilled that phrase in you. And we get a big chuckle out of it. But if you are a parent and you have made mistakes, if you want to really make an impact on your kids, I want to encourage you to do this. Go up to them and say, I love you so much. And I realize that I made some mistakes when I was bringing you up. And I just want to ask you to forgive me. Now, John Wayne, I believe it was, had a principle. I could have the wrong person there. I know a number of people have said it. Said, never apologize. It's a sign of weakness. I want you to know it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of confidence of who you are in Jesus Christ and that he loves you. And so don't make excuses for your sin. Don't ignore it. Don't say, oh, well, just suck it up and deal with it. If you messed up in bringing up your kids, why don't you go to them and say, you know, I realize now that I could have done some things better. I could have done some things differently, and I want to ask you to forgive me. Now, the kids will have their own response out of that, and hopefully they will forgive you, and that relationship will be stronger. But I want to share this with you. If children rebel, it is not always the parents' fault. It is not always the parents' fault. A few weeks ago, I was at the eye doctor, and the eye doctor and I, we were discussing a situation that was going on, and she had said that there was a transition that was going on in the eyeball, that this gelatinous substance was transforming into a liquid, and so I asked the normal question, and that is there anything that I can take? Is there anything that I can do to prevent this process from happening? What can I do? And she said, the only thing that you can do is get younger. And I said, well, I'll have to talk to my mother about that. And so I talked to my mother, and I said, I went to the eye doctor, and she said, it was your fault that I was going through this. And I was joking, and she said, it was not. And I said, yeah, she said it was because you had my birthday too many years ago. And now, you know, some of those side effects are showing up. And I want you to know that in faith, what I am doing is there may not be a vitamin that I can take. There may not be a supplement that I can take, but there is a word of faith that I can proclaim. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the word of God is quick and powerful. It's able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is able to permeate into the very foundational structures of our body. If God was able to open blinded eyes, if he was able to take a man's eyes who saw people like trees and give him perfect vision, I believe that God's word can penetrate. It says he sent forth his word and healed them of their sickness and disease. And so I speak a word of healing over my body. I speak a word of soundness over my mind. And I have of this mindset that I'm not going to believe that I'm old until God tells me that I'm old. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to deceive myself to think that I'm 18 and go out and try and do some things that I did for when I was 18. A few years ago, I was still running at the time. I'd started to run, and I ran a half mile, and I was very surprised because the time that I ran the half mile in was exactly the same amount of time that when I was a teenager, I ran a mile in. And it's like, wow, I'm not very good. But a little while later, after some more running, my daughter had a dog. It was a old dog. It was a heavy set dog, but that dog, when it got out into, you know, if it ever got out, it became a greyhound. It just pinned its ears back and took off running. It was not that it was an abused dog by any chance. For as far as a dog that had been a runaway, it had a great life. It served as Gravity's backup plan at our house, you know, for as long as he was alive. So I said, hey, Shadow, you want to go out for a run? And so we hooked the leash on him, and we ran a mile, and we didn't stop the whole time. You know what? I'd only been able to accomplish a half mile before. I now was able to come the whole mile. And after the whole mile, we made it. And I looked at him and he looked at me. And I think we were both thinking the same thing. As, I can't believe you made the whole thing, you know. And so if I tell you this, if you have children and they're not living for God, God understands that principle. But I want you to understand also that you're not supposed to write your children off. You're not supposed to give up on them. Instead, you are supposed to continue to believe for them, pray for them, love them, share the word of truth in love with them, and believe for them. And God said, if they've rebelled against me, I guarantee you this, no one is ever going to be able to successfully accuse God of being derelict in his duty. There's not going to be anybody that is going to be able to successfully accuse him of an inadequate job of parenting. And yet the people of Israel still rebelled. That's what brought us to last week, to the cross, and God saying, you know what? For all of your shortcomings, I will go to the cross, but I'm going to rise from the dead and I'm going to ascend. Once again, I'm going to ever live to intercede for you. And so no matter what spiritual condition, maybe you're the person that's not walking in obedience the way that you should be. Maybe your kids aren't. But whatever it is, I want you to begin to open your ears to heaven and hear what God has to say. Sometimes what you need to do is tune out the voices of men's wisdom and get on your face and hear what God has for you to say. Here's my prayer for prodigals. These are two verses that came to me when I was praying for a prodigal situation in our church. And one was that Nebuchadnezzar had, God said, I want you to put a band of iron around that tree stump, and I want you to protect it because I'm going to cause it to grow again. And so I when somebody's not walking in fellowship with the Lord, I say, God, would you protect them? Even though things are not going well spiritually for them right now, would you protect them and would you cause them to grow in the things of God again? And the other thing I pray is this. It says that if the rulers of this world had known what God had in mind, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. And so my other prayer is this. God, I pray that any prodigal that is out there right now, that you would bring them back to faith and with such a zeal and such an intense passion for Christ that the devil will regret he ever messed with them and tried to lead them astray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you. I pray that you would give us an ear to hear what you have to say for us. In Jesus' name, bring prodigals back to you. Amen and amen. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like an